right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red. You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I'm doing, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for silence to bring us out of possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because the guy reads comics he can't start.
I'll fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse out here running on my feet.
Everything apparently is just slow tonight. This machine doesn't want to record. This machine doesn't want to have an internet connection.
Computers.
Kevin's not even here yet.
Can't trust technology. No. Or Kevin. Or Kevin. Both of those things. Can't trust them. Wow.
In all fairness,
yep.
We all had problems last week. Kevin had an issue on Wednesday.
That's true.
You worked later on Thursday.
Yep.
And then my dad's heart had to up and stop. So it's kind of affected Friday.
Too soon, I guess? So, no, I guess not. All
I think
right.
It's okay if I say it.
I agree.
Plus, he's home now.
Good.
He's
That's
released
good.
And
That's
he's
good.
Feeling much better, and he didn't need any major surgery, so...
So then, good for medical technology, right. Bad for other technology.
Bad for right. other technology.
I'm with you.
So, yes, this is, of course, Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Episode 298.
Episode 298, and we're going to call this one Comic-Con Finally.
Comic-Con
Because
finally.
We're going to talk about things that happened at Comic-Con. Mostly
It's like
because
time travel.
Yeah, it is like time travel. Much like if you were a dinosaur on a train going
yes.
through a time tunnel.
Exactly.
So that you can go from the Jurassic period
to the Triassic.
To the Triassic and then
yep.
Cretaceous.
Wow, there's like one person out there that's like, I thought I saw that on Netflix yeah. one time.
No, there are dads and moms out there that listen, presumably, that may know that show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, actually, in all seriousness, this time of year is really
a
all
lot.
About Comic-Con. Even 2 weeks later,
yeah.
there's very little... new things coming out because there's so much that comes out for it's, like the 3 days leading up to Comic-Con and then Comic-Con.
I think it's the same as, you know, with E3 or any of those huge
yes.
conferences. It's like we all, every, you know, major outlet comes together to do this crazy show. And then they're like, oh, you had a question. We'll follow up on that. But they're not going to do anything new.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. There's been a lot of follow-ups on major stories.
See, exactly. Little mini follow-ups like, right. oh, no. Let me show you a teaser shot. Like, you know. First class stuff or whatever, but
right.
but sorry, first class. These are future
past.
But you know, otherwise, it's all about the mecca, if you will,
the mecca that yeah. is the pain in my ass that is Comic-Con. So naturally, I did not go. I don't believe that you went. Either.
I did not go. I didn't have time to go,
and I don't have time, money, or patience.
Yeah, I still haven't ever been to one though.
Right.
So I feel like that must happen.
Yeah, you should go.
Maybe next year, the year after, I'll go out to San Diego and.
You should.
And
I mean, you'll enjoy New York.
Apparently, the weather's
this
amazing,
year, I believe.
Yeah, I'm excited for East Coast.
Yes,
New York
yes.
Comic Con is going to be exciting.
And New York Comic Con, I think we're up to 3 exclusives now at this point. And yeah. There's a theme to the exclusives that kind of developed sort of oddly. But we'll save those teases for later down the road.
All right.
But, you know, the other big thing about Comic Con, and one of the reasons why I don't have to go, is that I feel like I could kind of almost live it from my living room or smartphone.
There's
or
a lot laptop. Of there's a lot of like exclusively streaming here. If you go to twitch.tv right, or right. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
But something we kind of started to talk about before we turned the mics on tonight,
yeah.
But I was like, no, let's wait, is the panels.
Yeah.
All right. So as you all know, the panels happen. You wait online for 6 days to maybe get into a panel and maybe not.
And you sit in a large, crowded room that's
right.
very, very hot.
Right.
And 6 people, you thought there was going to be that 7th person, but only 6 people sit on a stage with a microphone, some random guy
right.
or what's his name, who moderates everything now, the Nerdist.
The Nerdist,
whatever the
Chris
hell
Hardwick.
Name. Chris Hardwick or someone related just moderates the thing and asks questions. And occasionally they have some awesome stuff. And
right.
if you at home want to watch it, it'll be on YouTube, but only for 35 seconds.
Right. So, and the truth be told is, unless you're in the first 4 or 5 rows of any of those panels,
yeah.
you're really watching it on a giant screen anyway
yeah.
from the back of the auditorium.
Yeah.
So, but my gripe is that in the age that we live in,
right.
in 2013,
it is 2013,
where technology does on occasion work.
Uh-huh.
I don't see the reasoning behind pulling panels when they go online. I don't get the justification.
You know,
just potentially shown it to 5,000 plus people, I think, if you're in Hall H.
Right.
So the rest of the population, somehow it's a secret to the rest of the population.
You know, I think the panel part of the panel,
right.
no one minds.
No,
you know,
it's the
studios trying to be cool, you know, with the fans. We're like, we get your geek culture.
Right.
We'll bring out the stars and talk about stuff. And some of the stars, you know, legitimate geeks or cool people or either way. You know, they're just
right.
interesting stuff, interesting conversation. And I don't think they have the problem with the panel part of the panel. I think it's those, like, just for you guys, just for the fans, we're going to show you a 45-second teaser we're not going to show anywhere else. And I think that's the stuff they want to try to pull. And I agree with you. If they're going to show 5,000 people, what's the big deal? But look at it the other way. If you're one of those 5,000 people that stayed online for 6 days to watch something and you could just watch it on YouTube the next day, wouldn't you be pissed?
All right, so here's the solution to that I think is a pretty legitimate compromise.
Release it 2 weeks later?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or a week later or 3 weeks, whatever you
I agree.
You,
yeah.
Okay, so you got to see this panel 2 weeks before everybody else. I read someone's description of the footage that
yep.
they just saw. But now 2 weeks have passed. Why don't I get to see it?
I agree. Yeah, there's some cool descriptions of footage that
right.
you cannot find. There's like a shaky cam on Vimeo. Next day, gone.
Right.
Can't find it.
And then the other thing that I don't get about Comic-Con yet, why mm. someone hasn't thought to do this, but I know BlizzCon has been doing this for years, and I don't know if they did it last year, but I know for years and years and years, you could, for like $50,
yeah.
get BlizzCon on pay-per-view.
Oh, you know who else does that? There's a game out there called EVE, also known as the Space Spreadsheet game.
Yes.
Where they have, you know, their, like, conference, I forgot what it's called now.
Right.
In Iceland or whatever, and
right.
they invite everyone. It's a really cool idea, and you watch the basic stuff for free. They stream it on YouTube and then cache the video, but for, like, extra content in HD, you pay, like what you're talking about. It's like $10. You get to watch
yeah.
everything.
So BlizzCon has been doing this where you could get the entire event, like 3 or 4 days,
yeah.
and you pretty much get to see
yeah.
most of the major panels, plus a bunch of, like, B-roll and a bunch of just, like, on-the-floor type interviews and stuff. But I can't believe someone at Comic-Con hasn't thought to themselves, there are literally thousands of people here with video cameras. Why not try to access this footage and charge people for it?
Because
I would pay.
Yeah, but think about it. If we were out there, right?
Right.
We'd be wanting to shoot a bunch of exclusive interviews or not exclusive interviews because
right.
no one's exclusive at Comic-Con. You know, talk to these people, get that information out there, talk about what we saw on the panels. And if Comic-Con had their own in-house press team, they wouldn't need a lot of press. You know what I mean? They'd really kill a lot of the fanfare around it. Unless you got to, like, sign up to be on the Comic-Con press team or, you know, something
right.
like that.
I don't know. You know, my take on that is that in a day and age where everybody is reporting on the same story, right? So, for example,
yeah.
the Batman-Superman announcement, which
what?
We'll get to in a second, right? Pretty much there were 30 websites that all had the same exact information. right?
Well, there, I think there were like two that pre-announced it. Right. Like, we're pretty sure.
Sure, this is how, yeah, Huffington
Post. It was like,
it was
like IGN and The Verge had it early.
But but what happens is, as a fan of a particular website, you go to website A to not only get the announcement, but to get website A's take on the announcement because you like website A.
Yeah, you know what's a good website to go to for that kind of take? BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
So no one, for example, no one is coming to BigKevsGeekStuff for the most part to see something exclusive that they can't see at a bunch of other sites.
Right.
But I would like to think that maybe they come to not only the podcast, but maybe the website to see our thoughts on it or our take on it or our, you know, whatever our spin might be on said.
It's all flavor.
Right. So my point is that I think fans of IGN are still going to want to see IGN's videos.
Yeah.
But they might want to see Comic-Con's videos as well.
Okay.
Because you're getting IGN's take on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's. I think this is what they've been doing. I mean, this is how I follow E3. This is what they've been doing. Sony and Ubisoft and Microsoft or whatever, they stream their panels live.
Right.
And then afterwards, every single freaking news outlet, IGN and GameSpot and Sony had an official one, they invite everybody on afterwards and they do their little, so let's talk about the game you just showed at blah, blah, blah. You know, they have their hosts. They have the in-between shows. And I think that's a really interesting way to do Comic-Con, except there's just so much. You know, there's like five panels every hour for 4 days.
Right.
How are you going to put them all?
All right.
I think they should sell an archive. I think you should be able to buy access to a website and click around whatever you want.
I don't know. I think with pay-per-view, like for example,
yep.
This may not be a great example, but is it the Olympics where you could actually watch the Olympics on like three different channels, right? Or in years past, you were able to watch them on three different channels and each channel would cover separate events.
Yeah, the Olympics, yeah, this year.
Right? And ESPN has done that before and shit like that. So, and Comic-Con, in theory, is from 9 o'clock in the morning until the major panels are 9 o'clock in the morning to like maybe 6 or 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Right? So there's all this time in and around those panels. And you don't have to show every panel. Even if you picked the major panels. Like, who wouldn't sign up, for example? The big panels this year were the Marvel movie panel. Warner Brothers panel, the S.H.I.E.L.D. panel. You know what I mean? Those were the big, big panels. Even if you just gave us those.
They showed the pilot of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
They did show the pilot of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
Which has gotten mixed reviews, by the way.
Okay.
The people at Comic-Con loved it. The rest of the media doesn't get it.
Yeah,
which is no surprise.
Yeah,
to me.
I don't know if the rest of them. Wait, we should save this for.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not a surprise to me that the major mainstream media doesn't get something and highly rates things that shouldn't be highly rated as well.
Sure.
I don't know. Anyway.
So, I think we're going to talk about a couple of different Comic-Con things, but before we do that, because I've been dying to know.
Have you?
Pacific Rim. I loved it.
All right. So let's talk about Pacific Rim
right,
for a minute. Now, you're going to have to correct my pronunciation. I'm about to bring up a title that many of you may know. I really don't know how to pronounce it.
Okay.
But here's my take, basically. In terms of a mindless, lovely Hollywood movie where it's just going to be awesome robots fighting each other
right.
and dinosaurs pretty much,
right?
whatever, cool. I'm all for it. Turn off the brain. I mean, the visual effects were great.
Right.
You know, the performances existed. And it was good. No problem there, right?
Okay.
But let's dive a little deeper, no
All
pun
right.
intended. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Okay.
So here's the first thing. The first thing is, it clearly, and this is the thing, Neon Genesis Evangelion, whatever the hell it's called. Right, it's clearly the same thing. There are space monsters or aliens
right.
that show up, and all of the world puts all their problems on hold, comes together, builds really expensive robots that only a select few people can pilot and kill the monsters.
Right.
The only difference is, these come out of the ocean.
Right.
That's it. Except you find out, spoiler, they don't come out of the ocean.
They don't come out of the ocean.
It's a wormhole to another alien planet.
Right.
So it's the same goddamn story, but apparently he couldn't buy the licensing to it.
Right. Okay.
It's also almost like he watched his kids playing with some Godzilla toys and some Transformers toys.
Right.
And like, rah, rah, and decided, like, this is a great idea. I'm going to make $100 million with this. There's that, too. And the other thing is, it's really campy, which is great. In a way, it's really homage-y to, like, anyone who grew up in the 80s and really liked those cartoons and stuff like that.
I think it was intentionally campy.
Maybe, but there are lines that are just the most cliche writing I've ever seen before. Idris Elba's speech, who does a pretty good job, by the way,
right.
is pretty much, you know, Independence Day speech, word for word. Tonight we're canceling the apocalypse. Really?
Yeah.
Really we are? We're canceling. And explain to me this. How do they know if there's no one who can get near that hole without dying? Whatever. Right. What's it called? The rift?
The rift.
That's not confusing. Yeah. The rift, right? How do they know immediately that the creatures are coming out, where they're going, and how big they are? And if there's only one hole on the planet, how do they get all the way to Sydney and all the way to Alaska? Like, is there stuff on the floor? It's like, as soon as something comes out of the hole, it's a Category 3. And apparently there's some guy whose job is to just name them weird things.
Right.
They're like, oh, it's a Category 3 leatherback and drift razor or something. All
right. So
how do they know that? It doesn't make sense. That's nitpicky. I agree.
I will give you the how do they get to Sydney and here or there, et cetera. I will give you that.
How do they measure what's coming out of the ocean?
Although, if you notice, most of it is in that area of the world. It's like Russia, and there is no...
The Pacific Rim, for example?
Right. But what I'm saying is, I mean, like, you know, a monster that size, assuming it can move
but if there's nothing near that rift, how do they measure...
But I don't think that there isn't anything near that rift, because they make reference that they've tried to blow up the rift before.
And they've all failed.
Right. But that means they've gotten close enough to the rift to...
So there's like a seismograph
there? Clearly they don't go into that technology.
Okay.
But you can infer that they've been able to get close enough before where perhaps...
I'll allow it.
They put something there.
Then explain this. First of all, why does every single fight scene happen at night? Did they run out of a budget for lights? Did that happen?
Someone in the
rendering department was like, we can't finish it if we turn the suns on.
At night and in the rain.
Yeah, everything is at night in the rain. All right. Wait, there's more. So they are specifically have to be compatible with each other, both pilots.
In some capacity.
Okay. They have to be really compatible, because otherwise they get lost in the drift.
The closer they are, the better it works.
The drift, right? Except at the end of the movie where Idris Elba goes, I read you the first time I ever saw you. It's very easy. You have daddy issues, blah, blah, blah. We'll be fine.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Never piloted with a guy before, just walks into a ship. I get it. He's that amazing. But wait, there's more. They're in the drift.
Yes.
Their consciousness meld into one. They talk about it all the time. Wow, it was crazy because I was with my brother when he died, blah, 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 whatever. They talk about how I already knew I was in your head, and that's how they, like, fall in love. Why do they keep fucking talking when they're piloting the robots? Are you okay? Are you fine? You know what we're going to do? Let's use a plasma cannon. I'm going
to
get the sword.
First of all,
get the sword in the first place. That's stupid.
Yes.
And second of all, they shouldn't have to talk at all. They know exactly how they're doing. They're in each other's head.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense.
I think that the talking thing is
for the audience.
It is to a certain degree. The only other way they could have worked around it is they could have made it seem like they were talking in their heads. But
like telepathy kind of
thing. Right. But I mean, you
can't. Or they could have just done it and, you know, acted.
Right. I don't know. I think that's being a little bit nitpicky. Out of everything else you said...
They're in the drift, they're in each other's heads, but yet they find the need to talk to each other all the time.
Yeah, but it's weird because the drift is like they kind of feel each other's shit, and they can kind of see the past, but they can they see the current? Is it like once the memory is formed...
Well, they have to move as one. They talk about it all the time.
I know, but it's...
They're linking. The minds are linking. The link-minding thing is linking together.
I think the fact that they're talking is... I mean, that's
fine. We'll leave it alone for the audience. It makes sense. Okay.
So the sword is the same trope that in any movie where they all of a sudden pull out the magical weapon.
Yeah, it's like Power Rangers. It's like, oh, let's combine. Yeah. Oh, let's make the monster bigger.
How come you didn't do this to begin
with?
Yeah,
exactly.
That's just an effect. That's just to get the audience to applaud, which they did, by the way. The problem was that
they were trying to get. They were trying to mix the nitty-gritty realism with the crazy over-the-top 80s, 90s action. Anime kind of stuff, and they don't go together. You got to go one way or the other, and I think they tried to do both. Like, for example, the stereotype teams were like the three Chinese brothers.
Yeah.
By the way, there's only two of them ever. I don't understand that, but okay. They're triplets. You know what I'm talking about?
But there were three of them in it at the final fight.
None in the robot.
Yeah, there were.
Were there?
Yeah, and one of them got killed, and they lost the third leg.
That's true. You're right. I apologize. But yeah, I think what really bothered me is the writing, not great to begin with, which is fine,
right.
But it got worse as it went on. Kind of like they said, does this script have to make sense? Not really. Let's just finish out the movie. Like, for example, okay, the only way to get down into the wormhole is to hold on to one of the creatures.
Because it's a DNA signature.
Because it's a barcode or whatever.
Right.
But on the way out, apparently you could just fly out.
Yeah, I Well, yeah, I don't know. It's a one-way portal. It's an automatic door that you need a key card to get in, but you don't need a key card to get out.
Anyone who's going to say, and I'm sure you will, like, come on, dude, it's just a fun action movie, whatever.
Right.
My real problem with it, because I do write and whatever.
Yeah.
My real problem with it is the most interesting stories to be told in that entire universe to me are the 10 minutes that they skip in the beginning, where they first show up, and then 6 months later, another one shows up.
Right.
All the stuff they do through news footage, where it's like, and then the worlds come together, and they pool their money, and they make these robots. That's an interesting story. I want to see that.
Right.
That is an interesting story. And the second interesting story is when they go through the rift, and they show Pan's Labyrinth leftover designs for the actual aliens that are sending these creatures.
Right.
That's an interesting story, too. I want to see both of those stories. I know they're making a sequel, but apparently it's going to be more about Charlie Day mind-melding with whatever.
But I'm okay with
that.
Those
two stories, to me, that's the most interesting part of that movie, and they skip it to do robot action fighting.
I like the Charlie Day drifted with the aliens aspect of the story. I kind of like
the over-the-top nosebleed stuff. But Not the
nosebleed, but I like the fact that he drifted with them and that you actually got these glimpses of what was going on. I like that.
But barely. You couldn't really make out what was going on.
No, but...
It was like a kaleidoscope acid dream.
Right. Well, remember, he was dealing with a half a brain or a little brain or whatever the fuck.
Secondary half brain of an alien life form thing.
I really enjoyed it. I did think it was a little bit campy. I did really enjoy it. I think that it was flawed. I think it was intentionally campy in some degrees.
Yeah.
I'm excited for a sequel. I do want to see a sequel.
I hope it's a prequel. That's what I'm saying.
Or whatever it may be.
Or it's from the alien side. I think they can do some interesting stuff with this.
I hope they're on the moon next. Because that would just be cool.
They're on the moon. Oh, God.
Are you
making fun of Transformers now?
Well,
is that dark side of the moon?
Since you said Transformers, the one thing that I thought was impressive about this movie, despite the fact that it took place at night in the rain, was that... Unlike Transformers, or Bayformers, as the people on the internet like to call
them
now.
Is that what they call
them now? Bayformers.
Really?
At least I felt like I could tell what was going on in the fight sequences.
That's true.
Like, maybe because it was two different species, if you want to call the robot a species, but I was able to distinguish between Knifehead and the other one.
Right.
And Gypsy Danger and...
Yeah.
One of the other Jaegers.
Whatever, all the Jaeger dudes.
So,
yeah.
At least I was able to, appreciate the designs.
I'm with you.
To a degree.
I'm with you on that. And yeah, absolutely.
And then here's the other thing that I'm going to say, and this is not to knock Guillermo del Toro, because I happen to be a Guillermo del Toro fan.
Right.
I think a lot of people think that Guillermo del Toro only did Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, no, he did a lot of stuff.
No, but what I mean by that is every single movie that comes out, it's like, but this isn't Pan's Labyrinth, right?
Yes, of
Which
course.
I agree. It is not Pan's Labyrinth. But if you look at some of the other things that he did, and this is not to knock anything that he's done, because I happen to be a fan of what he's done, but nothing has stood up to Pan's Labyrinth, in my personal opinion, that he's done.
Yeah.
Nothing that he's done has been as good as story-wise, visual element-wise. Nothing has been as strong as Pan's Labyrinth.
I would agree with that.
I think that...
What, you didn't like Spy Kids?
I think that Pan's Labyrinth is the fluke, perhaps.
He didn't do Spy Kids, my bad.
No,
Pan's Labyrinth is the one-off.
Is the one-off. So, again, Pan's Labyrinth was brilliant. It was beautiful. It was well-written, and it was a good story.
Yeah.
But I don't think you got to hold this up to Hellboy, perhaps. You know what I mean? Was this...
Fair enough.
Or was it not the Lovely Bones? What was the other one he did? The horror-ish one that he did?
I don't know.
Was it the Lovely Bones? Was that the one?
No. Peter Jackson did Lovely Bones, I thought.
Yeah.
No, maybe he did.
Whatever.
I don't know. He did stuff. Right? He did stuff.
Whatever it was that he did. But you have to hold this up to those. In comparison to those, is it any better or worse? I don't. Is this better than Hellboy or worse than Hellboy? And again, I liked Hellboy. I'm not knocking Hellboy, but I think it's unfair to compare everything to Pan's Labyrinth. That was the fluke as far as I'm concerned.
That's fair.
One of these movies is not like the others. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, he did Blade 2 also.
Right, but that's exactly. But again, I liked Blade 2, but it was campy vampires and Wesley Snipes.
You're right.
So, anyway.
But fair enough. Pacific Rim, in general, fun movie to watch.
Right.
I'd rather see the other stories, which apparently they're going to be doing anyway. And the soundtrack, by the way, really, really goddamn catchy.
Yes.
Because it sounds like the end of the Nokia ringtone. Do you know what I'm talking about? That last part, the soundtrack, the entire movie.
Is that,
it's like, dun, yeah. da, dun, dun, dun. That's the whole. Yeah. But anyway, enjoyable. I just, again, you know, it's that nitpicky plot stuff that apparently doesn't matter.
I don't know that I'd say it doesn't matter. I just think that
you gotta
some
take
people
it for what it
read
is.
More into it than they should.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because I caught you in the drift.
All right. There you go. Fair enough. But you have to communicate to me verbally
that
you can't communicate.
That is exactly correct.
Telekinetically.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to some Comic-Con news. I want to talk about Arrow.
Tell me about Arrow.
You know what? So that just in case Kev listens to this afterwards, we're going to play that was a tangent. Let's play a stinger real quick.
Okay. All right.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Or that's the news stinger, which is going to be the entire episode.
It is news on episode 298 right. of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, Comic-Con, finally.
Right, finally Comic-Con. All right.
Road to 300.
So, Road to 300, where nothing will happen. Arrow. So, the big thing to come out of San Diego in regards to Arrow is that Black Canary is going to be introduced on the show.
Ooh.
The upsetting news about that is that it's not going to be, at least initially, Laurel Lance, who's already on the show as Oliver Queen's love interest.
Okay.
Okay. Which caused a lot of people to kind of uproar because she's supposed to be Black Canary. They've teased her as being Black Canary in some capacity with lines and quips here and there. But then quickly the producers came out and said, well, listen, you know, remember what we did to you on this show a couple of times. The first time you see the Hood on the show, which is kind of like the vigilante slang term for Arrow, for Green Arrow.
Yeah.
It turns out to not actually be him. It's Yao Fei, and he kind of teaches Arrow to be Arrow.
Okay.
The first time you see Deathstroke, and you think that it's Deathstroke, it's not actually Slade Wilson. It's Slade Wilson's partner, and it turns out that that mask that they use is kind of like this Assassin's Guild that they're part of, blah, blah, blah. So
they want to do something a little bit fresh.
Right. So what we think is that it's going to be Laurel's sister, who is currently dead on the show. And then somehow this is going to lead to some sort of major character development plot device that will eventually lead to Laurel becoming Black Canary.
Season finale. You're welcome.
Right. The other big news to come post Comic-Con as a tag on that, which really started out as a media slip apparently, but now has been confirmed because I don't think they wanted to get too far out of control.
So they just said, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And this is everything we could tell you about this.
Right.
Is the introduction of The Flash.
Yes. I heard they want a spinoff.
Yes.
Yep.
So this is what we know. He being Barry Allen. Barry Allen will appear in 3 episodes of Arrow.
Okay.
Season. Episodes 8 and 9, I believe it is. It's either 8, 9 or 9 and 10. And then episode 20.
Interesting.
Okay. He will be the Flash. He's not just going to be Barry Allen, but he never becomes the Flash. He will be the Flash. He will have an actual costume. It's just not going to be a red hoodie with a lightning bolt on the back or anything stupid like that.
Okay.
What the heck's going on here?
Shut up. Talking about shutting up.
Wow.
You're
going
to sit there quietly while we finish the Arrow discussion.
Hey, guess what? Someone just showed up.
In case you couldn't hear
me. I've been rightly ridiculed.
Not at all. So anyway, yes. So Barry Allen will be the Flash,
be the
but
Flash.
Not wearing a red hoodie with a lightning bolt.
He will have an actual costume.
Okay.
Episode 20, which will be his third and final appearance in Arrow.
All right.
They're using as a backdoor pilot to the spinoff. So this is like a new thing where when they don't want to develop a full pilot.
Well, it's a safer thing for the network to
right.
do. So they've done backdoor pilots. The biggest one is BSG, Battlestar Galactica, was a backdoor pilot, which is, it's a mini series, but if you like it, we got more, dude.
Right.
And that takes
off.
And
by using an episode of Arrow, which is already established, if the reception all season long is, holy shit, stop this nonsense, then it
they don't
stops,
do it. They don't lose money.
Right.
Or, exactly. And, on the other hand, they get a built-in audience right away.
You better talk loud because your mic's not turned on.
Why is my mic? Turn my mic on. Hell.
But yeah,
I don't think I could turn it on while we're recording. Hold on.
So
You want to say something about Arrow and Flash?
No, what I want to say is, how come I come in here and there's all this talk of backdoor? What kind of show is this when I'm not here?
It's a backdoor pilot. That's the technical term.
My name is on this program.
I know.
You can't be, like, talking about backdoor. The two of you need to leave your personal lives.
No, listen.
Out of this.
I was talking to people this week, and they were like, hey, is backdoor Kev coming to hang out tonight? And I was like, whoa, slow down.
That is true.
So it might have been Benny. I don't know.
Whoa! No, it wasn't.
No, it was not.
It was not blank.
So, Arrow. So.
Yeah.
So this is pretty significant in a couple of different ways. First, because when Arrow first launched, they said that they weren't going to do superpowers on the show. They were going to try to take a more realistic approach. And what they're saying now is that, and this is sort of an excuse, but I at least can justify it. First of all, I knew that was never going to last. I knew that at some point in time, they were going to have to go with some capacity of powers. It was just going to have to happen.
Right.
Like magic in the Marvel Universe movies.
But what they're saying is that why they liked the Flash as opposed to Wonder Woman, which, by the way, Amazon has put on hold indefinitely, by the way, which was the Wonder Woman pilot they were developing.
Surprise.
Why they liked the Flash was that Barry Allen is a guy that gets powers as opposed to he's not an alien. He doesn't have some sort of – right. He's not like – you know, he's not like a deity
or a god.
So he's
still. So what they're saying is they still get to tell human stories, and most likely this is going to be an origin story.
Right.
Surprise.
All right. Now here's the other news that's kind of working and teasing around.
Yeah.
The gentleman that worked on Arrow and is working on Flash is also going to be involved in some way, shape, or form, I believe, in Batman Superman.
Whoa.
Which we'll
get
to in a second, right?
Whoa there.
So,
spoiler alert.
Yeah. So, well, what there's a lot of speculation going on right now, and a lot of people from Warner Brothers not denying these thoughts is that they are potentially trying to, or they may potentially translate the characters that they're developing on these TV shows.
Oh no!
Directly into the Justice League film.
Yes.
No, they're not.
So Steve Amell would translate over to Green Arrow in the Justice League movie.
Ooh.
And the gentleman who is yet to be disclosed as playing the Flash, although casting is taking place as we speak, would translate over to Flash in the Justice League movie. When that comes out eventually.
Wow, that
after
sounds
Batman,
awesome.
After Batman. I don't hate that idea. I'll tell you why. I would rather they do that and maintain a single continuity then have three different or two different versions of the Flash running around. No pun intended. But let's leave Arrow and Flash, unless, since we brought it up, Batman Superman.
All right.
Let's talk about it.
Terrible idea. What?
Terrible idea.
No.
I'll tell you why it's a terrible idea. And why the industry, outside of Warner Brothers, thinks this is a terrible idea. I have not read one good thing outside of fandom that thinks this... The fandom thinks it's a good idea.
You have to take into consideration the type of fandom.
Of course.
Rabid fanboys who just want to see anything happen, regardless of whether it's good or bad, is not fandom to be trusted.
I understand that. And I agree with that.
So I am more apt to say the industry says it's a bad idea, that it's a bad – well, I mean, besides my own personal opinion.
The industry is saying it's a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea for a couple different reasons. But the industry is saying it's a bad idea because they're saying that Warner Brothers needs to shake the Batman
for
a little bit. They need to put back – they keep on relying on Batman to pull them out of these lurches.
Yep.
And no matter what your thoughts on Man of Steel were, I know that it was successful. I know that they've already greenlit a sequel, obviously because we're talking about it. But I don't care how much you love that movie. It underperformed. It did well. It made the money back. But it did not perform as well as Warner Brothers was hoping for it to do financially.
Nope.
And that includes the foreign market. It obviously does not include DVD sales because that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, totally it's going to sell well.
It does include Christian groups.
But it underperformed. And so Warner Brothers and DC's solution to a Superman movie that underperformed? Put Justice League on hold because everybody thinks that that's a bad idea too, and just bring Batman because everybody loves Batman.
And not only that, But let's talk about the fact, and this is what Scapegoat is about to bring up. Scapegoat is about to say that, well, don't forget, the way they introduced it at Comic-Con
right.
was by having the correct. Producer or somebody read a couple of lines from the Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
No.
The problem with this premise right out of the gate is that they said they're not doing that story, but that will be the framework, or I don't know exactly what the word was that they used, for telling this story, which is horseshit because they have no Batman in that continuity, and Batman and Superman, have no relationship. There's no framework right. that they could possibly create where this story or the ideas in it are appropriate to use.
So let me tell you what you have to do. You have to not only introduce Batman, right? Because you have to introduce him in some capacity.
Or you bring in Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Right.
No.
Right. That'll idea. Never happen. Have to introduce Batman.
Dark Knight Returns, they bring back Christian Bale.
You have to introduce Kryptonite. Right?
Yep.
Which is a huge thing.
A huge thing.
And then
this is like two movies yeah. down the
hold
line.
Hold on. And guess where he's going now?
Yeah.
No. I don't know where. I don't think I'm going where you're going. And then you have to, you know, you have to
make
Bruce Wayne smart enough to be able to manipulate the Kryptonite to use it against Superman.
Oh, okay.
Where were you going?
I was going with, and you need Green Arrow.
Yes, you do need Green Arrow.
Yes.
You do need Green Arrow. But I don't think they're going to
this whole TV
series. No. But that's what I'm saying.
This whole TV series has been a prequel for this
movie.
Yeah,
this is a framework, they said. We're going to be using the framework. And I understand what they mean by that. What they mean by that is they're going to take sort of the very broad strokes of Dark Knight Returns, Superman, and Batman's characters, and they're going to try in some ham-handed way to make it work that Bruce needs to do this or Clark needs to do right. this, or it's going to be really ham-handed and awful.
Yeah,
if they don't get Christian Bale, everyone on the planet will be confused.
But it's you're right, but they can't get Christian Bale.
They're not going to get Christian Bale. He doesn't want to do it.
No, he doesn't want to do it, and Nolan doesn't want him to do
right.
it. I mean,
yeah, exactly. So what do you do? It's now a Batman of an entirely different universe.
Right.
A brand new Batman for that universe, which they have no backstory for, but yet it's going to be...
And we're not going to want to watch another origin story.
Exactly, and it's going to be another epic styled story like the one we just saw with no premise and no basis.
Kind of like the one we just saw.
Right. And the other thing is that a lot of people justified the horseshit that went on in Man of Steel regarding his disregard for human life and physical structures.
and money.
As
sanity.
Well, you know, he's not really Superman yet, and he's kind of just
yeah,
learning.
We talked about that
right,
this
right.
is what
right.
makes him Superman.
Okay.
Right.
So in order for... Right, so what? So the justification was, well, clearly in Superman 2, he has to come into that, and he has to learn and appreciate... Okay, so fine. Let's say he learns and appreciates. Then why is Batman so pissed at him?
Yeah,
the reason that Batman and Superman fight in Dark... Because Superman goes batshit crazy. It's the same reason Batman and Superman always fight.
Well,
Batman
it's not only that. If you read between the lines there, you're talking about the deterioration of a relationship between two guys who in that timeline have been friends for decades.
Right. But it's always been based on distrust
and
Clark pushing it too far.
But that's why it's good story.
So unless Batman comes out and he's like, dude, Zod was my homie. What the fuck?
It doesn't make sense.
Right? That's what I'm saying. There's no framework.
There's no framework.
Listen, honestly,
no framework you can take from that book that makes this movie.
Here's what's going to happen. That book and that little line from that book is going to play no part in the movie. They're going to call it Batman versus Superman, just like every other versus.
It's going to be totally different,
except that it's not going to be a versus. It's going to be Batman and Superman teaming up to take on Lex Luthor or somebody.
No, I don't think it's going to have anything to do with the book. I think they haven't finished
writing.
It'll
be world's finest.
No, he even said it. So my first problem is Zack Snyder's involved.
Right.
My second problem is he hasn't finished writing it yet. So when he came out on stage to tell everybody about this,
right.
he said, we're not done writing. We're sort of in the planning stages, right. and we have some cool ideas. And then he had Harry Lennox, who plays like the captain dude and has a really awesome voice. He's been in 24 and all that kind of stuff. He had him read that line just to give that tease, just to pull the logo up. But I don't think it has anything to do with that. I don't think they finished writing it. I don't think anyone should get upset. I mean, they should get upset because they're not going to do a Man of Steel 2. They want to milk people and make a Batman movie for no goddamn reason. But I don't think it's going to have anything to do with that, honestly.
No,
And I really wish I could say, well, I trust they're going to do something new, which could also be a bad idea. But once again, Zack Snyder's involved.
I think that they're going to ride on the laurels. They're going to do one of two things. They're going to either completely reinvent Batman, right? Or they're going to go
in what 25 minutes?
No. Or they're going to they're going to rely on. I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to rely on the fact that you know Batman.
They're going to,
but we don't, because right now the most common one that people know is the one from the Dark Knight trilogy.
Listen to me.
Okay.
But the Batman from the Dark Knight trilogy doesn't vary that far from the Batman from the comic books, from the Batman from, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Batman.
Okay. Fair enough.
So I think what they're going to do is they're going to trust that at this point
people know.
You know who Batman
is. Maybe they'll Incredible Hulk it.
They might Incredible Hulk
credits.
It. Or
that'd be cool.
Or
no, it wouldn't.
Or they're gonna make a determination.
Yep.
That the Christian Bale Batman is in fact in this continuity, but they're just gonna recast Batman.
That would suck. Also,
all of these things suck. There is no good. I don't see a good.
Just, if the opening scene of the movie Batman Superman is Bale getting up from the cafe, and like getting a phone call,
that would be
awesome.
But I just don't see so.
No,
of course,
I don't know.
Of course, people are considering this the moment that won Comic-Con, which in a lot of ways it probably was one of the biggest things to happen at Comic-Con.
It was.
It's the jump the shark moment for DC Films.
Wait. They've been riding a shark the entire time.
Yeah, well,
there has been a fin following them.
They jumped that shark over something.
No. But they jumped that shark. See, they were riding onto the shark. They were holding
the fin.
Right? And they waited. They waited in the field until the Sharknado came by.
Yep.
And then they rode the shark
to
Gotham.
You should just walk away from this.
So
it was fine. It jumped the shark.
So the other big thing probably that came out, or one of the other big moments at Comic-Con this year, I'm going to say was Tom Hiddleston showing up as Loki at the Marvel panel.
Yeah.
Which was pretty big, right?
Yeah, I heard that was pretty
funny. I feel like other than him showing up as Loki and Karen Gillan showing up bald because she had done shaved her head, I kind of feel like the Marvel panel was kind
of... Well, a couple of things. One, just when you think you've had enough of Tom Hiddleston's Loki,
right?
This happens to me every single time. Just when I think I haven't had enough of Tom Hiddleston's Loki, I want more Tom Hiddleston Loki.
He's great.
Brilliant.
And he is amazing.
It was the same thing in
He was
Thor...
in character, right? The whole...
In the Thor Dark World trailer. Right?
Yeah.
I'm like right at the end and I'm like, oh man. I mean, you know, it looks okay and everything. And right at the end.
Oh yeah.
They have the Tom Hiddleston Loki and I'm like, God damn it, man. And now I'm really looking forward to seeing this.
So
when you betray me.
So let's move on then.
No, hold on. Because I have a comment about Karen Gillan also.
Oh, okay.
And that is, I wept.
I
wept when I saw the photo.
Good for her. I'm glad she did it.
It's going to take a while.
I am amazed.
They're not filming tomorrow.
I am amazed. Actually, I think everybody's already been on set.
I think
they've
been shooting
tomorrow.
And I think it was a stunt for Comic-Con.
No, for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, that's what I meant. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. I'm amazed, speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, that they did not announce the voice for Rocket Raccoon and Groot. I'm amazed. That
they may not know yet. They're saving it
for D23.
Didn't we hear at one point? Didn't we hear what's his name was going to be Rocket Raccoon?
We've heard a dozen names. Oh, we've heard David Tennant, Jim Carrey,
John
C. Reilly,
no,
Walking Dead, the brother.
Speaking of Walking Dead,
Norman Reedus?
No, Norman Reedus's brother.
But he's already in Guardians of the Galaxy as. The other is a hulking, as a big dude.
So you complete, you've messed up casting.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
I thought he did Guardians.
I can't remember his name now. It's really bugging me.
I can't remember the actor's name or the character.
Oh my god! I've seen him like 8,000 times.
But
I've interviewed him for this program.
He's in Guardians.
As what?
As who's the big purple guy with the mohawk?
Yondu.
Yes, as Yondu, I believe. Is who he is playing in that
film. Really?
Yeah, I believe so. I could be wrong, but I think that's it.
What do you got there?
Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker.
Yeah, okay. Is playing Yondu.
Yondu.
Very good.
So
that's kind of bad casting.
So I think they're saving it for D23. That's what I think.
Okay.
The other big thing from the Marvel panel Which my initial reaction was, oh my God, the world is coming to an end. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, no, I'm okay with this. I'm really okay with this. Is the title for Avengers 2, which is Age of Ultron.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Surprise.
So, do you know what that means?
So what?
Hank Pym.
No, it does not mean Hank Pym. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
So my initial reaction was, oh my God, that was the worst comic book story ever written. To which everybody quickly came out and said, no. We're just borrowing the name. It has nothing to do with the story.
Okay.
And the more I thought about it, that makes sense because Sue Richards and yep. Wolverine play a major role. A major, huge, pivotal role.
In Age of Ultron.
In the Age of Ultron comic book.
Right.
So clearly they cannot be in the film.
Right.
So I'm okay with it. Of course, what just came out like today or yesterday in casting cheats is that Ultron is going to not be created by Hank Pym in the film. Ultron is going to be created by Tony Stark.
Ooh.
I'm okay with this. Ooh. I think it makes sense. I'm upset because I would prefer it to be Hank Pym.
It makes sense.
Of course, you know what that is. This is him saying, I can't be Iron Man anymore.
This is that's exactly
so
where they're going to go.
Here's an automatic Iron Man.
Here's auto Iron Man.
Right.
That is smart and intelligent.
Uh-huh. I'm totally fine with this.
I'm okay with if that's the
kinda
angle.
Kind of sucks because it was a real easy slide in for Hank Pym.
Right, but they don't want to do that. Four, that's going to be like phase five or whatever.
Four or five characters accounted for there.
Hank Pym is...
He's coming soon.
Hank Pym is going to be Ant-Man in phase three. They did confirm Hank Pym.
Yeah.
And we've
seen the test footage last Comic-Con.
Right, but they didn't actually announce that it was Hank Pym. It could have been that other guy.
Okay,
that
whatever.
And there's two other guys.
Yeah.
So
is that how they're going to try to defeat Ultron? At the...
Who knows? Probably. Maybe Hank Pym eventually... No, because Hank Pym is not going to be in the movie, they're saying.
Yeah, but...
They're saving Hank Pym for Ant-Man, apparently.
All right.
How they defeat Ultron, God only knows. Also, to come out in the last day or two... So the guy from Kick-Ass that is not Kick-Ass was cast as Quicksilver in Days of Future Past.
Uh-huh. The other friend.
Yeah.
So,
not the funny one with the glasses who was in Hot Tub Time Machine. The other guy.
So Marvel was pissed clearly at Bryan Singer for casting Quicksilver to begin with.
Oh yeah. So this
Marvel was like, you know what? We're gonna cast Kick-Ass as Quicksilver. You cast his friend, we're gonna cast him. Ha ha
ha. It's just such petty bullshit.
It is,
what I mean?
But you know what? In all fairness, I do think that Fox and Bryan Singer started it. I think they started it.
Whatever.
But whatever it is, so we have Quicksilver now.
What can we talk? Where are we with Comic-Con? We're just going over the.
We're
major
just kind
highlights.
Of going
just
over,
going
the
over
ma-
everything.
Major highlights.
Can we talk about some? Can we talk some exclusive stories?
We can, but I feel like there was something else I wanted to bring up in the Marvel world that I'm missing. Maybe not.
Or some other announcements, at least.
Well, there's plenty of other announcements around. Oh, yes, no. I wanted to talk about Days of Future Past.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
That's a good one, yeah.
Let's absolutely
do that. And my problems with that?
Posters posted on our website, yeah?
Yes.
And then
Peter Dinklage as Bolivar Trask
looks
awesome.
Yeah, they just came out with the first official photo of him a couple days ago.
And there's a viral website. I think it's Trask Industries is the site.
Oh, yeah,
I
saw that.
Leaking, like,
yeah.
And they, you know, we got our first look at a Sentinel head at Comic-Con.
Right.
And now we actually got a look at the Sentinels.
Except, did they show scale in the new picture?
They did, and they're small.
Oh, it's bad.
Okay, so now, all right, so here's my point.
Bad.
I had this conversation on Twitter yesterday. My recollection of the Sentinels was big. Was like Voltron
big.
Jaeger big.
Yeah,
was
big.
Big,
uh-huh.
Right?
I don't know about Jaeger big, but definitely big.
Huge big.
I'm thinking like 25
all
feet.
Right. All I can think of was, no, they were bigger than that.
That's what I always thought. They were like 25 to 35
feet. No. But think about it, though. Think about the Bowen statue that came out.
Whoa. I think Master Mold was bigger than that.
Okay.
But I think the other Sentinels.
So apparently, most of the Sentinels are 20 feet. And there's a handful that the government had that were like 98 feet.
Yeah.
Is what someone has told me.
Oh, okay.
And confirmed me. The movie is going with the 20-foot versions.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Three times man size.
I don't know.
Size. That's all right.
I kind of feel like they should be.
Until we see Wolverine
huge.
Slicing through one, it's not going to feel right anyway.
And neither of you have seen Wolverine yet.
No.
I haven't. But I don't.
There's a stinger.
But I won't tease.
We're going tomorrow. Aren't we going tomorrow?
Yeah.
I won't ruin the stinger for you.
Good, don't.
Oh, in Wolverine?
In Wolverine.
Oh.
I won't ruin the stinger.
Is it after credits?
I assumed.
It is mid-credit or
I assumed that there was going to be something
in there.
Is it about
Future Days, Future Past?
Well, if I tell you that, I might as well.
Please don't.
I might as well
no, don't say anything. I don't want it spoiled.
Why don't you put the show on hold because
no.
I want to know.
I'll tell you later.
We're not putting the show on hold.
That's it. I don't think anything else huge has come out Days of Future Past wise. The posters look really cool.
Posters are cool.
Supposed to look really cool.
I'm excited for this one.
I'm excited for it too.
I really liked First Class.
I loved First Class.
And this Wolverine movie has gotten fantastic reviews.
It's getting mixed reviews. A lot
oh,
of
really?
People like it. A lot of people say the first two acts are great, and then the third act shits the bed.
We'll see.
So we'll see.
Haters be hating.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, we can go on to some. There's other movie related stuff, I'm sure, but we can go on.
Yeah.
Some of the things, some of the stories coming out that surround exclusives, like
sure.
always, or other announcements. Of course, Hasbro had a full panel about
right.
Star Wars and that kind of thing, and I followed some of that with interest.
I did follow some of that as well.
So as is typical with Hasbro, they didn't really say a whole lot that everybody didn't know already
right.
about the Black Series 6-inch figures. They announced what the next, I don't know, four
next
or five.
Couple, yeah.
There's going to be a speeder bike
right,
in
right,
that
I heard
scale.
That.
Pretty cool. They didn't show it, but it's going to be pretty cool, apparently. And stuff like that. But the exclusive story with Hasbro is that Hasbro actually sold out of the Boba Fett with Han and Carbonite
right.
on the floor either Friday night or Saturday morning.
Yes, I heard that as well.
A lot of
people were very upset.
And, of course, the usual batch that they held back for their website,
yes.
6 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, it was ridiculous.
6 minutes yeah. online. And, again, the same problems that they have had year after year after year is even if you have it in the basket
right.
and you're in the checkout
it doesn't
process,
mean anything.
It doesn't mean a thing until it says you got it.
Now, I might get crucified for what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
But.
Good way to set it up.
I know that people are going to have issue with
okay.
what I have to say.
I'm excited.
I have no issue when a company has an exclusive and puts it online as well after Comic-Con.
Nope.
If it doesn't sell out at Comic-Con. However,
if
there are guys
back.
That showed up on Saturday and Sunday and missed out on the exclusives because they were holding some back online, I think that's kind of a shit move.
Well, listen, that said, this is not something new.
I know.
This is not something that people
I know.
Should not be expecting.
I'm just saying.
And you know what it is? If the reason that kind of thing happens is because you have guys who are headhunters
right.
who go there with 10 people... And they buy, you know, the and it was only one a piece, by the way.
Someone posted a photo on Facebook that I saw
uh-huh.
that some scumbag posted after Comic-Con,
right.
like Saturday or Friday.
Right.
Smashing
and
shit.
It was just his Hasbro exclusives.
Right.
But it had to be like 30 of each
yeah.
or 20 of each.
And you could only buy one. On the Boba Fett, you
right.
could only buy one. So
right, right.
that's exactly what we're talking about. So if they run out... The reason is because that's the industry
but
and that's the way that they roll.
I thought Hasbro
but
did allocations.
They, well, that is allocation.
No.
You mean so many per day?
Per day.
No.
They don't. No. So if it sells out on preview night, in theory, it sells out.
It sells out. That's happened with other companies as well. But that said, some people do allocations.
Right.
Hasbro usually has enough to spread throughout the day
sure.
normally.
Sure.
But that said, you know, when they're punching badges... Which I think they were.
Right, they normally do.
If they're punching badges and guys are still finding a way
right.
to get back in there and get another one, that's the real problem. Not that Hasbro holds back to sell some online, and you got to respect them for even trying that. Because, look, I'm not going to San Diego, and I'm a collector,
right,
and I want to get a hold of
right,
one of those.
And I understand that, but I think that, in all fairness, and this would include myself on the numerous exclusives that I've missed out on,
uh-huh.
I really honestly think that the people who are physically there should have the crack at those pieces.
Well, listen,
and if they don't sell out, then you put them online.
Well, listen,
that's just my personal
let's
opinion.
Talk about who's doing
yeah.
it. Let's talk about who's doing it right then.
Okay.
Gentle Giant.
Absolutely.
Because Gentle Giant says their premier guild should be the model by which all other collecting sort of special clubs
right.
should be.
I got. Can I ask a quick...
Yeah.
So we've talked about this specific topic on the show about three or four times.
Uh-huh.
Are you sponsored by them?
I'm not.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. But we should be.
Yeah.
Well, no.
But I agree with you. No, no, no. From what you've said, totally. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
The point. The point is that, and the reason we want to keep bringing this up is because maybe someone will hear us and someone will listen to us because we've been saying this for years, and that is, if you are, if you have this, if you have a, like a little collecting club, premier guild, whatever you want to call it, that's what General Giant calls it. They charge, it's like, let's say it's $75 for a year.
Right.
Right? You, they do three exclusive pieces. You get one of those pieces.
Right, automatically.
And then you get the opportunity to buy the other two exclusive pieces.
Right.
Right? That's how it works. And then for the rest of the year, you get first crack at everything they put online.
Right.
You get discounts that other people don't get. So many discounts on this. You get special pricing on everything that they put out, right? Because there's a Premier Guild pricing. And then you get the opportunity to order all of their convention exclusives.
Right.
To be delivered to your house. So you don't have to worry about this nonsense going on.
Sure.
If Hasbro did this, Hasbro would never, ever have a complaint again. If Mattel did it correctly, Mattel would never have another complaint again.
I agree.
And that's the problem. The problem is, I don't know where, on what planet, Hasbro thinks that they are ever going to be successful at this without creating some sort of collector's community thing. But they just refuse to do it. I mean, even if they went the Mattel route, at least they'd be halfway there. Right, Mattel's at least halfway there. Yeah.
They just don't know how to execute it properly, but it at least they have it.
And no scapegoat. I'm not sponsored by them. What I'm sponsored by is doing things the right way.
Were there any exclusives that you wanted from San Diego that you got?
All of them.
Oh, you got not the General Giant, from anybody else?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I got every exclusive that I wanted to get. I think I got every exclusive that I wanted to get from San Diego.
Nice. Good for you.
Everything. And you know what? It wasn't that difficult. And was it a little pricey? Sure, sure. But it sure beats the $1,200 it would have cost me to go there.
Sure, sure.
So if I paid $100 for Boba Fett rather than $60, which is what I would have paid on the floor after waiting 2 hours, then I'm okay with that.
Well, I got my Arrow bag, so I'm happy about that.
I see that.
And I really wanted the minifig, the Lego minifig.
Yeah.
So Lego had like 3 or 4 minifigs that you weren't buying. They were giving out randomly.
Sure.
Arrow was Sunday. He is selling online right now for $500 and $600.
That's ridiculous.
What?
The Arrow, the minifig
is
selling. And it's not even like, this isn't even like their Toy Fair exclusives where they have like cool packaging.
Yeah,
no, this is a minifig.
And is it actually selling?
Yep. $500. $450. Wow. I saw one for $6.
So if anyone out there has it and doesn't want to make $500, send it our way.
I'll take it.
No,
and I promise I won't sell it. It'll just go on the shelf.
And this is serious. It's absolutely going to come out somewhere.
Oh, so I'm sure. I have no doubt about it.
Because they have never, I mean, they've rarely done an exclusive that hasn't appeared somewhere else in virtually the same
thing. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I'll wait.
If you paid $500 for a minifig, you should take that minifig, stick it in your oatmeal, and swallow it and choke and die because you are an idiot.
Wow.
That's impressive. That's a lot of rage.
Wow.
Have mommy put it in your oatmeal and feed it to you, and don't chew because you clearly have no teeth, you fucking baby, and just choke on it and die.
Wow. You just wish you had $500, didn't you?
No.
I'm joking.
I just think that's ridiculous. That said, if I had got there, I would have got 10 of them.
And sold them online for
$500. Every one of them for $500.
You wanted to choke a lot of toothless people.
Yeah.
What else we got from Comic-Con?
Well, I'd love to talk about some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff.
Tell me all about them.
But I won't, because, you know, Paramount apparently doesn't want us putting stuff online.
Yeah. I'll teach you, OG.
Can you stop reporting the news,
please? Apparently, because I think the issue with those is that they were not outside. They were, like, actually physically on set.
From the set photo.
From the set. Because we weren't the only one that got that letter.
Gotcha.
A lot of people got that letter.
No, but
we don't want
you
to know how shitty this movie is going to be. So could you take those pictures down, please?
some other cool things that I don't think we talked about on the show.
Did we talk anything about Celebration yet?
No, we're going to get there.
Okay.
I just want to hit on like just one or two more toy related things.
Okay.
From San Diego, we didn't talk about Dungeons and Dragons Creo, did we? Oh, we did talk about those.
Yeah,
we did talk about
briefly.
Those. So we could skip that.
Not briefly. We had a whole
I do want to just quickly mention the Four Horsemen showed off the next bunch of Outer Spacemen figures.
I saw them.
And not only do the Outer Spacemen alien figures look amazing, but the humans representing Earth.
Unbelievable.
Holy shit, those figures are.
Unbelievable.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Unbelievable.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
If you have not checked out the Four Horsemen's Outer Space figures, you are truly missing out, I think, on one of the best independent toy lines out there. I am enamored of these toys.
And, of course, I'm going to say
I'm not so enamored of Mr. Clean's new look.
Oh, I love Mr. Clean's new look. I will say this, too, since we mentioned the Four Horsemen, and I'll put the link back up. Check out their Kickstarter project. That is still going strong and awesome.
That's true.
For the Gothitropolis Ravens.
You don't like the laid back, I'm losing my hair, but I still grow it long.
I think Cornboy looks fine.
I miss Hillbilly.
Now,
Cornboy.
If he showed up in overalls,
that would be awesome. With one strap up,
piece of straw in his mouth.
Listen, if he would wear white overalls and a white T-shirt
for
Halloween, I would. I don't know. If there's something you'd like us to do for the Four Horsemen, if you go as Mr. Clean for Halloween and you wear white overalls and a white T-shirt and white shoes, this program will be at your disposal, Four Horsemen. I'm putting that out there. I'm just saying. With the little earring,
he
does the whole thing. This show is at his disposal. That's it. I'm putting that out there.
We'll get him one of those Mr. Clean magic erasers that he can carry around.
Yeah. Wow. Yep, seriously.
All right. Let's talk about the news that came out of Celebration, or rather, the news that didn't come out of Celebration.
Well,
we got a few things.
Wait, Celebration happened?
There were nuggets.
Celebration Germany.
No, there were nuggets.
Mean, Celebration Europe care? 2 is what we're talking about.
Because the next U.S. Celebration has been announced for 2015 in Anaheim.
Yeah. Conveniently.
No shock there. So what didn't come out of Celebration?
I'm going.
Anything Episode 7 related for the most part.
Well, we know there will be...
John Williams.
Scoring. That's true.
And they're not going to be that heavy on the CG.
And a reduction in the use of CGI.
Correct.
And an increase in the use of actual puppets,
and
robots,
droids and stuff.
Droids, etc. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with all of those
things. All of that. Let's see if it happens.
The medium thing... Although big, depending on who you are and what your opinions are, to come out of Celebration was the Clone Wars Series 5 DVD set, in addition to the Clone Wars Complete Series DVD set.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of big news. The big news, though, which a lot of people were hoping for and were very disappointed to hear, is that there is no extra episodes or mini-sodes or anything like that.
What do you mean?
There were some people that were hoping that there was going to be some conclusion.
Extra stuff.
There are two episodes on the season 5 disc that I don't think aired.
Oh, I didn't hear that at all.
I think so. I think if you look on StarWars.com, I think they actually say that.
Scapegoat can look that up. Yeah, I did not hear that.
I thought I had read that. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Did you dream it?
It's possible. I do dream.
That is a good point. I don't really.
But
have
that said, let's scapegoat.
There are two episodes with director's cuts.
Is that what it is?
That have scenes that have never been seen.
There you go.
I do not believe.
Oh, okay.
There are not. I don't believe, and I could be mistaken, but I don't believe there are full episodes.
Okay.
And the reason people wanted that was because the series kind of just
faded away.
Ended.
Yeah.
But a new series.
They
but Rebels.
Yeah, and they also haven't ruled out the possibility of doing a wrap up direct to DVD feature.
Right. Yep.
So that's not off the table as far as I understand it. However, you were saying
Rebels.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So the additional artwork that we saw looks
the
fantastic.
Logo,
the logo.
Amazing. Very reminiscent
of the Rebel
flight
pilot
suit. Yeah.
Yep. I picked up on that. I thought that was pretty cool. October of this year.
Nope. That would be October of next year.
You're right. Yes, we will get a 1-hour pilot episode.
Right.
With the show to follow, I think, several weeks later. I don't think it's right away.
I don't
or
think
Or even
it's
possibly
right away.
In the new year.
I think
year.
It's in the new year.
Yeah.
I think it's
so,
in the new year. Which sucks because it seems like it's 2 years away, which it is. So,
well, it's a year away. It's a year away for the preview, yeah.
And again, the great thing about Rebels, it's all it takes place between 3 and 4, which has never been touched by anything, and it does use the stunning Ralph McQuarrie artwork, the original sort of design work that Ralph McQuarrie did for Star Wars is what the entire series is using as a basis. And it is the stuff they've shown already is fantastic.
And that artwork, if you haven't seen it yet, it's actually up on the site. If you go over to the section.
What
you
call it?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com. It's under the movies and TV section on the site. It's there. I think that's it. I think that we're going to hear a lot more in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll
see. D23.
We'll see.
I think there's a lot more. I think there's a lot more casting rumors that have been swirling around.
Right.
I heard Zac Efron.
Well, Automatic Matt from the UK.
Yeah.
Automatic Matt from the UK contacted me today with a piece of news that I want to share.
Yeah.
According to his ubiquitous clandestine sources,
right,
Pinewood Studio has been booked.
Yes, yes. That's been confirmed.
For 10 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know for that one.
Production by a company. I think if you bring up JediNews.UK, I think it's probably on there. By a production company which happens to share the same name as some Disney food.
Yes.
Disney Foodables or something.
Yeah,
he
sent me that article today.
Yeah, I think if you look there, you'll find it. And it happens to share the same name. So much like they did with Blue Harvest.
Right.
And the other false names that they've given the production to keep it secret, I think this is what has happened. And Pinewood has been booked for 10 years. There it is.
Yeah.
Foodles. There it is.
I think they're just going to be doing a lot of voiceover work for commercials.
Is that it?
Yep.
Ten years worth.
If
Disney put out a food product called Foodles and it lasted more than a year, I would be stunned.
There's also some really strong rumors that one of the other big things at D23 that we can expect to hear is the park related, in that the Star Wars themed expansion to the current Hollywood studios is going to take place.
But
what I'm hearing is that they will move where Star Tours is currently to a different area of the park, and then expand by the backlot area of the park to be a Star Wars themed land.
Yeah,
did
you hear anything about that?
No.
One of the things that I've heard from one of my ubiquitous clandestine sources is that it will be Tatooine themed. The exteriors will be Tatooine.
That's pretty cool.
Will the character of Hoth be there?
Yes, the character of Hoth. No, Tatooine themed in so much as they will have the cantina.
I was just going to say, I want to eat in the cantina with animatronic
Figurin Dan.
Nodes.
Figurin Dan.
That would be awesome.
Can you imagine that playing?
Yeah.
That would be fucking
that
great.
That would be amazing. That kind of thing, I think, is at least what partially is the plan. I don't know if the whole outside area is going to look that way, if they're going to try to break it up. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that the trading post that they have there now, the outdoor trading post, what's it called?
The Star Post Traders.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Like that. Yeah.
That whole area is amazing.
Yeah, and that area is a bit weird because the Star Post Traders is Tatooine,
but
like the ride is Endor.
And then they have the bunker.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, I don't know how they're going to resolve that issue, but if they went with Tatooine themed for the whole thing, or at least part of it, I'm down.
I'll tell you what they'll do.
They'll put dinosaurs on some trains.
Yeah. That's not true. No, I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll completely just redesign. They'll move the ride, and they'll just redesign it all to be Tatooine themed.
Yep.
I'd be okay. I don't think they necessarily need to do multiple
planets.
I don't. I just think that they're going to. I just think that they're – I mean, clearly they're not going to do Hoth. But, I mean, they could do – you know what? It could be like the front end is Tatooine, and you go around the corner, and now it's Endor-themed.
Maybe.
Or something like
that. Maybe. But there's a lot that they can do with Tatooine. They can work a sandcrawler in there.
Totally.
They can work a pod race in there.
You could do the same.
That'd be cool.
You know what
I
mean?
You could do the same thing with Endor.
You could, but
in there, you can bring that AT-AT.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can do.
Although I will admit that it would be really great if they did something in something Death Star. I don't know what.
Like an eatery.
Like a walkthrough.
Death Star Cantina.
Nah, I'd much
Death
rather
Star
see
Commissary.
The Mos Eisley Cantina.
Death Star Commissary.
Yeah, maybe. Didn't Eddie Izzard do that? That was one of his bits, yeah. Getting lunch in the Death Star commissary.
I'm thinking of an artist who we met at, or I met at Celebration, who does photographs, but he uses action figures and creates his own environment.
Yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
A Death Star, like, break room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking of that.
Yeah, it, look, there's a lot that they can do, and hopefully we'll hear that in the next couple weeks. Comic book-wise, as far as back to San Diego, comic book-wise, there wasn't a ton of... Like, there was the... in Green Lantern news, they teased the first ever female Green Lantern... Human... Earth. The first ever human female Earth Green Lantern, right? In that part of the villains event that's coming up. Harlequin is getting her own book again by Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. I'm okay with that. I have no problem with that.
She's so far out of...
Yeah, but this book is going to be outside of the story contained within Suicide Squad. I'm okay with that.
Is she going to retain the Suicide Squad look?
Well, it's the same character.
I know.
So. No, see, they've redesigned. No, Amanda Connor has redesigned her outfit
again.
And it does not look anything like. It does not look anything like Bruce Timm Harlequin.
Right.
Right. Which she hasn't looked like in how many years?
For years. At this point, I get
so. But she doesn't look like Arkham Harlequin or anything like that. I don't know. Anything else big? Game? What about game-wise?
Wait, you mean that Comic-Con had no comic book news?
Well, yeah.
And no one is surprised.
You know what? And actually, I read a really interesting story today on Newsarama that kind of talked about the problems with Comic-Con, right? The pluses and minuses of Comic-Con. And one of the things, obviously, is the reduction of comics at Comic-Con. But also the exodus of comic creators that are choosing not to go back.
Oh, yeah.
Artist Alley. Now, Artist Alley, they cut. If you used to be an Artist Alley guy, you would get two badges. Now it's one only.
Right.
Major creators are choosing not to go.
Sure. Why would you?
So, right. So, I mean, it's yeah, in a couple of years, Comic-Con will not be about comics at all anymore.
Yeah.
It's not really now. I mean, comic book movies, I guess,
look, there was a DC panel. And DC presented all their major stories. They presented Trinity and whatever's after Trinity. And Marvel had a panel where they did Infinity.
So the big two had
panels. Right.
Did Dark Horse have a panel? I assume they did.
I think so. I think Boom.
Boom and Arcaya
had a panel, a joint panel.
But that's what I'm talking about. I mean, they've gone and they said all the things. I think they would do so much better just, like you said, releasing that information online and be done with it. It costs them tens of thousands of dollars to do these cons, in particular.
I have to say this, though, and this is almost a testament to what's happening at Comic-Con. I think that with very few exceptions, we're at the point in the comics industry where comics are becoming irrelevant again. I think the fact that one of the reasons there weren't major panels is because I don't think any of the major companies had major news. They all had news, right? And the news is always the major crossover.
Yeah.
But there's no groundbreaking comic book news anymore.
It's true.
What are you gonna what could it possibly be?
Hey, we're starting another universe.
Yeah. We're
Amazon.
Killing,
we're doing comics now.
We're actually killing off Batman. For at least the next 6 months. Like, what are you going to have?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
they did that.
Yeah, like,
Death
exactly.
Death of Superman.
Exactly.
Again.
Spider-Man is still dead for maybe the next year. Like, what are you going to announce at this
That's
point?
A big deal. For you.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's almost a testament to what's going on in comics is so sort of unimportant that maybe it doesn't warrant a presence at Comic-Con.
Yeah, I agree.
No,
well,
I'm with you.
Which is sad. Yeah. I don't want it to be that way.
But it is that way.
But that's kind of what it is.
And more and more, you know, we know Tonner did not go this year.
Right.
We know that other companies did not have as big a presence this year as they've had in the past. And some companies, again, through my ubiquitous clandestine informants, are not going next year.
Well, it's amazing.
A rather huge company that we talk about quite frequently on this program, I think, may not be attending next year.
Can we not say?
We can't say.
Oh, okay. It's amazing because I think one of the big things that's happening with this Disney acquisition, too, is I think that you're going to see a reduced presence of Disney-related stuff at Comic-Con each year. I think that Disney is going to start saving it for D23. They're going to tease some stuff, Because they can never not have anything. They tease some stuff, right? They'll put out, like, some press releases. But I think all the major announcements coming from Disney, which means Marvel and Star Wars, I think all the major announcements are going to be coming from D23 from now on.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
So, yeah.
I think that's finally Comic-Con in a nutshell. I'm sure we missed some things.
That is
Comic-Con. I'm sure we glossed over some things.
I missed some things.
But I think that's it. I think we could wrap up this episode. We're already at an hour 20 with not a lot of breaks.
Wow.
So.
That is Comic-Con. Finally.
Was there a break?
There was no break.
But you know who we have to talk about before we wrap up?
A couple of sponsors.
That's correct.
I think. So let's start off with, of course, Suburban Vinyl in Waldwick, New Jersey. First of all, regarding Suburban Vinyl, there will be photos online with this episode of the Matt A. custom show.
Fabulous
that we just
show.
Mentioned. I'm not even going to call it custom. I'm going to say the Matt A. art show, the
yeah.
sculptural show, because
mm-hmm.
he is this
phenomenal.
Guy. You would have really appreciated his art. It's a
I
shame
think
you couldn't come.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
There were some customized bits there,
sure.
but really the pieces that were all his own original sculpture.
Yep.
I mean that giant cephalopod.
Yeah.
In the middle.
Yep.
With the glow
light up
ridiculous.
Stuff.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah.
Yep. The guy is ridiculously talented.
He sure is.
So of course, suburbanvinyl.com. Check them out. That stuff will be on display in the shop for the next month before another show rolls in. So you still have a month to go see it in person. So if you are local, head over to Suburban Vinyl in Waldwick, New Jersey. Buy some stuff. Check out the show. And, of course, if you shop at SuburbanVinyl.com,
ooh.
There is, of course, a coupon code.
A coupon code Big Kev.
All right, Big Kev will get you 10% off of your purchase. And they have a plethora of great items and new items every single day.
I've heard.
On the online store.
And if you're shopping in person, don't forget to ask for Blink.
That's right. He is the manager, so
yep.
he'll likely be there. Of course, our other awesome sponsor, Superpower Collectibles. Superpowercollectibles.com for all of your geeky goodness that you're probably not getting at Suburban Vinyl. And actually, in all truthness, I don't think there's a crossover there.
No, what's great
no,
about it
so.
Is what's great about these two sponsors is they
between
have
the
two
of them?
Yeah, between the two of them, you have the whole gamut covered.
You're good. You should be pretty good.
Also a coupon code.
Also a coupon code. Also Big Kev.
Yes.
We'll you can you remember these easily.
Easily. That will get you $10 off a purchase of $50 or more. And off of
that's
purchases,
almost a 20% savings.
It is. Off of purchases of $99 or more, almost everything has free shipping.
Mostly.
Right. Almost.
Mostly. And, of course, for $1,000 or more, Backdoor Scapegoat will...
Whoa, whoa.
Backdoor Scapegoat
whoa.
And you will enjoy
a
lovely evening.
No. That was good, though. I see what you did.
Like
there.
That, I,
so you backdoor piloted it earlier in the episode,
right.
and then you tried it. I
that's
see what
right.
you did. Yeah.
Are you going to close the show with Backdoor Lover by DuJour?
No. Although that would be really funny if
why
I could
find it.
Why
don't you do that?
I'll seek it out.
I have it somewhere.
I have it somewhere as well. So
I could probably send it to you.
Sure.
Don't
sure.
lie to me. You could probably send it to me.
No, I probably could.
Yeah,
you probably won't know.
Yeah, you know how to use email, but that doesn't mean anything will be in that email. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Shut up.
Don't forget, you can check us out on each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Yep, mostly.
We have links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. It's all over there.
You can tweet us. I'm Scapegoat GS.
That's right. At GeekStuffOG and maybe at BK Geekstuff.
If you want to do that.
The YouTube channel is BK Geekstuff. The Facebook page is BK Geekstuff. We try to keep it easy.
Yeah, we want you to remember this stuff.
I do also want to throw out there the GVM line.
Yes, which is 425.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you want to take
this
one?
Just, you're stuttering
into
it.
Let me do the, do you want to like trade off?
No, go ahead.
GVM, 425-920-6050. Ask a good question. Do some audio stuff so we can answer you. Hear all your questions, comments, what you want us to talk about, all that kind of great stuff.
Right.
Yep.
If you do choose that, or if you have used that voicemail line, person who called twice and left two messages a minute apart, I didn't forget about you. But this episode really was just so...
It was just... This is all news, right? This is Comic-Con.
So next week, your voicemail will be featured, and... We don't just play one. If there are multiple good ones, we will play multiple.
One of those better be good. That's what we're saying.
I'm going to say this,
though. We could get good ones between now and then.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. I really want episode 300 to be a really audience participation-based episode.
I'm with you.
All right?
You'll find out more news soon.
Certainly, you could call and leave a voicemail for next week or the following week. But I'm really strongly encouraging you to leave a voicemail for episode 300. And you can start calling now, but just say, you know, save this for episode 300 because we are going to pick, I think, a voicemail from episode 300 and give away a prize for the best voicemail.
A significant prize.
How about that? How about them apples?
I like those apples.
So there you go. And I think that may be it.
That's it. This is...
What?
Episode 298.
It is?
On the road to 300.
Comic-Con, finally.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. Comic-Con, finally? I missed all this early stuff, so I don't know.
I think it was finally Comic-Con, but it's kind of interesting.
I think you changed it later.
Yeah, whatever.
Way to go, Skate.
It's just finally Comic-Con, finally.
Also, this is a disclaimer.
Oh.
I'm putting one more disclaimer out there.
Okay.
All right.
We offer a player on our website that you can use. However,
good.
No matter what browser you use, Firefox, Internet Explorer, Safari,
Chrome,
if you just, in the episode post where it says click to save as, rather than click to save as, if you just click on the post, whatever inherent browser, whatever inherent media player your machine has will likely pop up and begin playing the episode. You will lose the function ability of maybe fast forwarding, but the audio quality
is about much better. 90 times better.
Skate 90 joke? Times better.
Are we? Do we have a
we're working
fix for that problem?
We're working on that.
I'm asking Scapegoat.
There are two or three options that we are looking at right now, and we want to make sure we have the best experience for you guys, the listeners.
Wow.
So you'll hear more about that very soon. But yeah, definitely the audio quality is a lot better as a podcast through iTunes. On the site as that audio file, but we know that the show sounds a little
crap.
AM radio.
And
with the player on
the
site right
now. For those of you
who
listen to us on a mobile device, but aren't subscribing to the podcast, first of all, fucking subscribe.
Yeah, really.
And use whatever inherent podcast app you have.
Yeah.
That audio is
probably
good.
That is excellent.
If you don't subscribe, but you listen to it through the player on the site, the same thing will work if you click on that link. If your phone has a built-in
media player,
it'll just start playing. It works on Android and iPhone devices. We have tested both.
Have we talked about More Like Radio yet and how they can hear us on there?
Of course, you can check us out on More Like Radio Tuesday nights at 5 p.m.
Do you know that show that I want to have the radio war with?
Is
gone now.
Is it? Oh.
We won. Ha.
And I'm going to save my
we
comments.
We scared them off.
What was that about, sir?
Nothing. I'm saving my comments.
It'll be in the director's cut on the DVD release later.
Of this episode.
Yep.
Speaking of the director's cut of this episode, I think we're already into extended bonus features at
this
point.
Fair enough. Yes, we are.
The episode.
Yes.
OG, I will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close by saying good night, Dennis Farina, wherever you are.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Shortly after Fez 2 has been announced, Fez 2 has been canceled. Bill Fish, the creator of Fez, has canceled the game and quit the business after the last straw of criticism. Last week, the annoyed gamer, also known as Marcus Beer of GameTrailers.com, was telling it like it is and called Phil Fish a hipster asshole. Then the annoyed gamer borrowed a term from Mr. Burton's old world vernacular and called Phil Fish a tosspot. The clip got back to Phil Fish, and it turns out he doesn't like being called unstable. So he wigged out on Twitter and decided to leave the industry. The bright side is anyone who has seen Indie Game the Movie knows that Phil Fish is an emotional guy, and in all likelihood, once he collects himself, Fez 2 will be back on schedule. BioShock Infinite is finally getting its promised DLC. Promised because back in March, when the game launched, they took people's money for a $20 season pass, and there's been no new information about the DLC until now. The first piece of DLC for BioShock Infinite is Clash in the Clouds. But before you get too excited, it's essentially Horde mode with 4 maps and no multiplayer. The one complaint people had about BioShock Infinite was the gunplay was not so great. But now the first piece of DLC is all about shooting waves of enemies. Luckily, they're only charging $5 for Clash in the Clouds, because it seems like something they just kind of put together to have DLC out sooner than later. The other piece of DLC, coming sometime in the future, start holding your breath, is a 2-part side story, read, DLC people actually want, is called Burial at Sea, where Booker and Elizabeth play out a detective story before the fall of Rapture, which my initial reaction was, why are we going back to Rapture? There's been 2 games about Rapture. How about a side story exploring Columbia? Maybe the backstory of the Songbird? But then it dawned on me there must be some killer twist. BioShock Infinite is a really clever game, so if they're going back to Rapture, they have a great idea for why. But before you buy, while it's a ways off, The Burial at Sea DLC is two parts, meaning $15 for part 1 and $15 for part 2. So if you're going to get the Burial at Sea DLC, pick up the Season Pass because that's already cheaper, and you would essentially be getting Clash in the Clouds DLC for free, which is currently out on XBLA, PSN, and PC. There's a rumor that in summer of 2014, Microsoft will release a version of Xbox One without the included Kinect camera, to which Microsoft responded, "No, that's not true." Telltale Games have come out with their DLC for The Walking Dead titled 400 Days. It costs $5, lasts about an hour, and it's really nothing special. Soul Calibur 2 HD Remake. Another HD remake, but this time it's Soul Calibur 2. They are adding online multiplayer, so if you're not the only person who buys this game, you can play people online. Deus Ex The Fall has been released on iOS for $7. The game looks fantastic, if you can play it. As of this recording, the game is incompatible with iPhone 4 and iPad 2, which cuts out a huge section of the market. Hopefully they update this game soon, so it's playable. Capcom has announced Ultra Street Fighter 4. It's Super Street Fighter 4, but with 5 additional characters, mostly from the Final Fight series, and 6 additional stages. Which is nice, but it doesn't come out for another 8 or so months. Capcom has also announced Strider for XBLA and PSN. I'm excited to see Strider make a return, but from the footage I saw, the gameplay and animation look very janky. And once again, this game won't be out until early 2014, so I'll talk more about it in about a half year. And finally, the only real piece of news, Stan Lee will be a playable character in LEGO Marvel Super Heroes. This marks the second time Stan Lee will be a playable character, the first time being a pre-order skin for The Amazing Spider-Man, the movie, the game. Hopefully these trends continue, and Stan Lee makes an appearance in the next Marvel vs. Capcom 3. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And on that note, we cue the music.